Black gold, back against the wall. Now we won't fall. Yes, yes, y'all. Money coming in when we watch that fall. Black gold, we ain't playing no more. Look, we want it all. Boom. We from the bottom to the top, here we go. Boom. And if you're riding in your rail, come wrong. Boom. They in the park ballers, but we all grown. Everybody step, but we let it go. Come on. You know what I'm reppin', sit down and learn your lesson. We the BL, okay, okay, easy. Now keep it raining, you're paying attention. Listen, we the BL, okay, okay, easy. Nobody's seeing me, they told me it's my pain is gone. Show some love or be living under the logo. Stop the hate, I ain't playing, homie, it's time to grow. Fuckin' with my money, yo, you don't wanna hear it, bro. I understand that work hard and it pays more. Cause I've been sitting and writing since 94. That's right, since 94, I wanted more, I need more. I need it. Fuckin' with my art, you be ducking, dodging my dog. Now clap with me, they hating, so clap with me. I'm boogie down to the heart, peace up to the city. Peace up to the riders, cocaine suppliers. Yeah. Rubber bands, duffel bag, black card grinders. No class liars, catch me in the C-class, pads like flyers. Clean the way it came, same color as my sock. So grown up, keep the factory on tires, man. When I'm reppin' sit down and learn your lesson, we the BL, okay, okay, you say. I told you we raining, homie, now pay attention, we the BL, okay, okay, you say. You smell that? Didn't mow any wine. Something about the cream got me going out of my mind. How can I ever grow, yo, if I don't even try? I don't even lie, you can't read between the lines. I'm a beat, no slice, no praise in the whole pie. Let them have it, the click clack and how we reply. I'm blowing up, someone stepped on a landmine. Getting better every time. I'm loving the rap, you hear it when I rhyme. No need to get bent out of shape, you'll be fine. Before you get bent out of shape, I mean literally. You're a mommy of cake, evidently you're sweet. That nigga's pushing up weights, but you're yours to me. See the heat is backed up, love to make it sweet. You know what I'm rapping, sit down and learn your lesson. We the BL, okay, okay, you say. I told you we raining, homie, now pay attention. We the BL, okay, okay, you say. Back against the wall, now we won't fall. Yes, yes, y'all. Whoa. Money coming in, homie, watch that fall. Black dope, we ain't playing no more. Look, we want it all. Boom. We from the bottom to the top, here we go. Boom. And if you're riding in your rail, come wrong. Boom. They in the park ballers, but we all grown. Everybody strapped, but we let it go.
Again, this geek of year, tune into BOE for the basis of the airways. And we gonna get it on the popping as we always do. Peace and dragon with you guys. Let's get this show started with some great. Oh, am I saying great music? I'm about to play music for y'all. And today is talk, nothing but talk. I'm so used to saying that I'm gonna play some music for y'all that I said that. So, congratulations go out to the brat. And her wife, Judy, they just recently got married. So congrats go out to the brat. So I want to share something with y'all. Oops. Here we go. So we're going to start off with some sports news. No, I don't do a lot of sports news, but you know stuff. So, for y'all who watch college basketball, you heard about the fight that Juwan Howard was in. Yep, him and a few of his teammates. Because, and it was in this fight. Juwan was in this fight because he didn't like what the coach did or Wisconsin. And, you know, he was vocal about it. And then he didn't, let me say something. Like, when you piss a black person off as a white person, and you keep digging, like, once you do something to piss us off, and sorry for the background noise, and you keep digging it, like you sticking the jab in a knife, and you want to jab that knife further and further, yeah, it's going to get to the point where we're going to have to throw hands. And that's basically what Juwan did, threw some hands. And his, yep, that's exactly what happened. And, you know, I'm going to share the story with y'all. And he was suspended for the rest of 5 games. And I think that's all they have left for the rest of the season is 5 games. Michigan's basketball coach Juwan Howard was suspended for the rest of Wolverines' regular season after post-game altercation at Wisconsin. And it was at Wisconsin. Sorry about that. There's a video attached to the story, but I don't need the video. So they was at Wisconsin when he did that. He wasn't home. See, he got his teammates got his back, but sorry for yawning, young. But let me tell you something. If anybody who gets into an altercation, not a fight, an altercation where you and the person is going back and forth, if you're not in your territory, meaning in a familiar area that you know, and you about to fight somebody, and if you ain't got backup, trust and believe, somewhere is backup for them. Not you, but backup for them. But if they don't know how to fight and their people don't know how to fight, then you got it. But trust me, people like to talk shit and can't back it up. There's a lot of people in this world who talk a lot of shit but can't back it up. Have you ever seen somebody talk so much shit and then when the person steps to them in their face, they backing down? Yeah, because that's all they can do there. They're bullshitters. With all that talk, I think they're tough, but when the person they're talking about steps to them, they backing down, don't want to fight. It's tough when you was talking all that shit about me, but now that I'm in your face, you don't want to talk all that. You acting scared. Yep. So it says, Michigan's men's basketball coach Juwan Howard may suspend 5 games the remainder of the regular season and $40,000 for hitting Wisconsin assistant coach Joel Klavenhoff. In the face after Sunday's game, the Ten Conference announced on Monday, Wisconsin coach Greg Gard was fined $10,000 for violating the conference's sportsmanship policy but not suspended. While Klavenhoff is not expected to receive punishment. True, because I seen the video. Juwan steps to him, exchange words. He says something back. Juwan swang. He ain't swing back. He know, because he knew if that assistant coach was a swang back, he would have got his ass whooped by Juwan Howard. That's my boy. Him, Jalen Rose. Oh, God. I think Chris Webber. I'm trying to remember the squad. Rose, think Chris Webber, and it was two others, I can't remember. They were the reason why I like Michigan basketball. Before they came along, I didn't know jack shit about Michigan basketball. Because even though I like college ball, I wasn't paying attention to Michigan like that. But when I saw them play, I became a fan of Michigan. And I mean this, I'm like, but I won't, see, he's smart. See, the assistant coach is smart, right? He ain't letting Juwan touch, he gonna let Juwan touch him, because then he can sue for assault. Whew, sorry for the yawning, y'all. So it says, Michigan forwards Terrence Williams and Musa Diabati and Wisconsin's guard Jacoby Neath will each suspended one game. Huffley appeared to throw punches. The disciplinary actions were imposed by the Big Ten in conjunction with both schools. Big Ten conference coaches and student athletes are expected to display the highest level of sportsmanship conduct. Conference Commissioner Kevin Warren said in a statement, I am grateful for the partnership with Michigan Athletics Director for Dave Manuel and Wisconsin's Director Chris McIntosh. Our expectation is that the incident yesterday will provide our coaches and student athletes with the opportunity to reflect and learn and move forward in a manner that demonstrates discernment and leadership on and off the court. In the final minutes of the Wisconsin 77-63 home win on Sunday, guard substituted walk-ons into the game. Michigan, which still had its record on the floor, was pressing full court leading guard to call a timeout to stop his team and give it a chance to cross half court without turning the ball over. Following the final buzzer, guard grabbed Howard's arm as he walked past in an attempt to stop and talk to him. The two men exchanged words, with Howard putting his fingers in guard's face and grabbing guard's shirt before being surrounded by several players and coaches. Kravenhoff then came over in the middle of the scrum. What the hell? Who's writing these articles? What the fuck is a scrum? I ain't never heard of that word used when it comes to a fight. But that's what they wrote in the scrum. I got looked up because I heard that word used when a fight is going on. And exchanged words with, and Howard then reached out and struck Kravenhoff's face. Both teams began pushing and shoving, with Michigan's Diabati and Williams and Wisconsin appearing to throw punches. After taking time to reflect on all that happened, I realized how unacceptable both my actions and words were and how they affected so many. I am truly sorry, Howard said in a separate statement released by Michigan on Monday. I am offering my sincerest apologies to my players and their families, my family, and the Michigan fans around the world. I would like to personally apologize to Wisconsin assistant coach Joe Kravenhoff and his family, too. Lastly, I speak a lot about being a Michigan man and representing the University of Michigan with class and pride. I did not do that, nor did I set the right example in the right way for my student athletes. I will learn from my mistakes, and this mistake will never happen again. No excuses. Both ads said it, that such incidents have no place in the game. The disciplinary actions underscore the seriousness with which we take the incident that unfolded on Sunday. Simply put, there's no room at UM for behavior we saw. Manuel said in Michigan statement, we will learn from this incident as a department, work to improve ourselves while operating under the spotlight and move forward in a positive light. McIntosh said in the statement released by Wisconsin, needless to say, there is no place in college athletics for what happened at the end of Sunday's game. Neither coach, guard, nor his staff had any intent to provoke or incite any of what took place. I want to commend those on our staff and student athletes who were trying to de-escalate the situation. Our staff have complete support, as do our student athletes. Consider the $10,000 fine from the Big Ten to be a Wisconsin fine and not a Greg Gard fine. Wisconsin athletes will assume the responsibility for paying the fine. Wait a minute. Wait a goddamn minute. It says the students is going to pay the fine. Why is the students paying the fine? Wisconsin, only one student was through him. Only one of your student athletes threw hands. So why is the student athletes being subjected to playing fine? It was Coach Gard grabbing Juwan by the arm that started this whole mess in the first place. You not putting it on the coach? You making the students pay the fine? You know what? You know I do not curse a lot. You know I do not curse when I'm on this, a lot when I'm on this show, when I'm pissed off. And right now I'm pissed off, and I'm going to say to Wisconsin, fuck you. With a big F, with a big U, with a big C, and a big K, and a big Y, and a big O, and a big U. Fuck you. No student athlete at Wisconsin should be paying that $10,000 fine that the coach caused in the first fucking place for touching his arm. Usually when the game is over, everybody shake hands and walk down the line shaking hands. Nobody grabs arms. So I'm saying to Wisconsin, Coach Gard, fuck you, because you started all this mess. Because if he wouldn't have grabbed Juwan's arm after the game, and they wouldn't have had no words, the assistant coach wouldn't have got hit by Juwan, and the student athletes wouldn't have been fighting. So, Coach Gard of Wisconsin, fuck you. The athletic director who said this bullshit, fuck you. No Wisconsin student. If you want to make the student pay the fine, at least the student who got into the fight should pay a little something. That's it. But you putting it on the whole athletic student athletics. You're not putting it on Coach Gard, the $10,000 fine. You putting it on the student athletics. As I repeat, and I know a lot of y'all are gonna play this back and you wanna hear what I said, and I meant what the fuck I said, and I'm saying it again. All in caps. Every word I fucking say, and I'm saying it with, is in caps, fuck you. Because if I'm reading this article right, it's, I'm going to read that line again. I'm going to read it again what he said. Our staff has my complete support, as do our student athletes. I consider the $10,000 fine from the Big Ten to be Wisconsin fine. Okay, I agree with that part. And not Greg Gard. Now, this is not Greg Gard's fine. And not a Greg Gard fine. Wisconsin athletics will assume the responsibility for the fine. Do you mean the department of the athletics or the students? Because if I read that wrong, then I take back my fuck yous. But I thought it said students. If If I read it wrong the first time, I take back my fuck you. I take it back. Because if you mean the athletic department will pay the fine, then okay. But in actuality, no. Greg, the coach, should pay that fine. Just like Juwan was fined $40,000, and that's coming out of his pocket. I don't see Michigan saying, oh, we're going to take, no. Let the coach pay that fine. Let the coach pay the fine. He will make the $10,000 back. But I thought it said students, so I had to reread that to make sure that it wasn't on the students. I thought it was. I had to, you know, it's late, and I am a little tired. I am, so that's probably why I read that wrong. I ain't gonna lie, I'm a little tired, but I read that wrong. I take my fuck you back in all caps. Because I thought it said the students. I'm about to say, what? The students? I thought it said the students. I said what I said. So when you play this back, you'll hear me make my apology. Trust me. Let me finish the article. Then it says, Howard says Sunday he was angry over Wisconsin's timeout usage. Wisconsin called two timeouts in the last minute, including one with 15 seconds. Oh, that's why my boy was pissed. You called two timeouts in the last minute with 15 seconds left, and the team led by 15. So they had no chance to ever try to come back to something to even win the game because he called two timeouts in the last minute. So you saved your final two timeouts and you wait till the game is about to be over to call them? Yeah. Fuck you, I said to the coach. To the athletic director, I apologize. But to the coach, it stands. Because if I'm reading it right, what Juwan said the coach did, yeah. The fuck you I gave to the coach is stands. The rest of everybody else, I apologize. The coach, no. Because you wait to the last minute of the game to call two timeouts because you had two timeouts. So you know when clock is winding down, you call a timeout. You know, for us as watching the game on TV, you know, you got 30-second commercial spots, and they're showing more than one when you think about it, right? And then when they get back, yeah, the coach takes all the fuck yous I said, goes to the coach. I take it back when I have left it right there. Anybody else but the coach, he gets it. Gets all of it. I didn't like the timeout they called, and I'm being totally honest with you. I thought it was not necessary at that moment, especially with it being a large lead. I thought that wasn't fair for guys, and so that's what happened. He also said someone from Wisconsin made contact with him, but didn't specify who did it. Okay, I'm going to keep reading. Said someone touched me, and I think it was very uncalled for them to touch me as we're verbalizing and communication with one another. That's what escalated it, Howard said. Guard explained his rationale for the timeout, particularly the one with 15 seconds left. In the post-game interview with CBS, apparently he didn't like that I called the timeout to reset the 10-second call because we only have 4 seconds to get the ball over half court. Guard told CBS, I didn't want to put my backups. I had all my bench guys in the game. I didn't want to put them in that position of scrambling with only 4 seconds. So I took a timeout and got us a new 10 seconds, and it helped them get organized and get the ball in. And he did not like that when he came through the handshake line. I'll leave it at that, and the tape will show the rest. And I'm going to say my fuck you once again for Coach Guard. And that's, and Juwan, you my boy. You're the reason why I like Michigan basketball. You and the squad, when you were playing, you and that was the reason why I like Michigan basketball. And I know it sucks that you got 5-game suspension, and this is the regular season. March Madness is about to start. I don't even know where y'all at, even if y'all made the list of the Sweet 16. I don't even know. I don't even think that. You still my boy, though, Juwan. Yeah, you still my boy, though. What else did I want to share with y'all? So, from sports news, we're gonna go entertainment news. Sherry Shepherd announces new daytime talk show Wendy Williams Show to end. Since I've been guest hosting on the Wendy Williams Show since last November, actress Sherry Shepherd is expected to host her own talk show on Fox. As reported by People, the new daytime show titled Sherry will inherit the time slot of the Wendy Williams Show on Fox. Owned and operated stations producer and distributor Devmar Mercury said, is still not available to host the show as she continues on her road to recovery. We believe it is best for our fans, and stations, and advertising partners to start making this transition now. Company co-president Mort Marcus and Barbara Bernstein said in a statement on Tuesday, "We hope to be able to work with Wendy again in the future and continue to wish her a speedy and full recovery," they said. Shepherd shared her own joy over the announcement. OMG, I'm so excited to have my dream come true and debut my very own talk show, Sherry, in the fall. I can't wait until I return to New York to host the show and merge everything I love, pop, culture, talk, entertainment, and comedy. I am thankful to Debmar, Mercury, and Fox for partnering with me on this show and look forward to this new journey, People reported, Sherry said in a statement. Sherry will serve as executive producer on her new talk show, along with her producing partner, John Murray, executive producer and showrunner, David Perler, who worked on the Wendy show for 12 seasons. The current 13th season will be the last, has rotated through a celebrity guest host since last fall, including rappers Fat Joe and Mima, Jerry Springer, Michael Rappaport, Bevy Smith, and Terrence J. Shepherd proved the most popular star for Williams. Debmar Mercury said, and the show's ratings held up during her appearance. The show will continue through the 13th season with rotating hosts, including Shepherd, who will guest host the Wendy Williams Show all this week. Sherry is a natural who proved her hosting skills for many years as a panelist on The View on Fox Dish Nation and again this season as a popular guest host of the Wendy Williams. Of Wendy, said co-president Ira Bernstein. Like our viewers, we have been impressed by the unique comedic twist Sherry puts on our daily lives, hot topics, segment, her creativity and interactions with our guests, her love to the content, and daytime fans, and we are excited to partner with her to create another long-term talk franchise, they said. Now, love Sherry. I do. I love Sherry Shepherd. And, but, I don't know. I don't know if a talk show is going to last. I don't know if the Wendy fans are going to go when she comes in Wendy's spot. I don't know if the Wendy fans are going to board the ship Sherry and tag along for the ride. I don't know. I understand that she puts a comedic spin on it, but it's not the same. I don't think daytime, this time slot, what, 10 o'clock? So I don't think daytime will be the same without Wendy. For those who, if Wendy was the only reason why you was watching TV at that time. For those who are maybe off on it, you know, off, or they work from home or whatever, you know, I don't know. Well, congratulations to Sherry, and good luck to you. Because I don't know when these fans is going to join the bandwagon. I really don't know. Here is something for the parents out there. I'm going to share this story with y'all. This is for y'all parents out there. I'm not a parent, but I want to share this with y'all. Foster class misbehaved daughter comes away with a long list of grievances. Says Christina Brennan received an email from her daughter's teacher explaining that her child was misbehaving in class. Now, this is what the note said. Here's what it says. Christina Brennan received an email from her daughter's teacher explaining that her child was misbehaving in class. In response, Brennan decided to spend the day in her daughter's 8th grade class. In a "I am here because my child won't behave" shirt, she went from class to class with her kid and was asked about what she saw. Early in the day, she took to Facebook and posted a photo of herself standing next to her daughter. The post read, "She is pissed. I think she forgot who her mother is. She's going to learn today." Later in the day, however, she went back to Facebook to recount her experience during the few hours she went to school. She began during my day as an 8th grader, I took note of a few things. These kids are bad as hell. These kids are disrespectful. There would be a lot more parents taking a day at school to see how their child behaves. Teachers are angels sent from heaven, she wrote. I couldn't do it. Wanted to choke about 6 kids. These little girls are extra grown. If your middle school child is so in a fake nails, you are a part of the problem, she added. Turning her attention to the school's faults, she wrote, "School lunch is horrible. I feel like an unfair parent for subjecting my children to that stuff." Adding that lunchtime was chaotic and treated like a prison mealtime. She wrote that the dismissal process chaotic be a better way. She continued, she said, "Teachers spend more time policing kids on their cell phones. Parents, your child does not need their phone at school. We survive without them. They will be fine. It's distracting." Addressing parents, she added, "It's okay to remind your kids that they are kids and be respectful to adults. These kids have zero respect. Get involved with your child in school. The teachers appreciate you and your child will appreciate you later in life." "My daughter's pissed at me for showing up. She knows that I love her and only want what's best for her," she added. Brandy's post quickly went viral, with parents applauding her efforts. Honestly, some parents even decided to do the same. Okay, excuse me. In another post, Brandy posted a picture of another mother who decided to do the same shirt, included. It's a movement, baby. When you inspire another parent to show up and show out, she sent me a photo. Way to go, Patty Perez. Support our schools, Brandy captioned the post. You know what? My mom never showed up to school because my mom never got an email nor a letter sent to school to say her child was misbehaving. The only time my parents ever got called to school is because you know back in the day in school when the teacher would, if you did something wrong in class, what the teacher do? Put you in the corner in front of the class, an example out of you. And that's what my teacher did. And after that, you know, my teacher called me over to talk to me, and she, see me, I'm a person like that. If you touch me, I'ma touch you back. That thing. You know, I don't like, you know, if you touch me for no reason, I'ma touch you back. But you know, being a little kid, when you have reacting like that, the teacher touched me. She didn't hit me. She just, you know, she just touched me, and I my reaction was I hit the teacher. She called my parents. My parents called in. She called my parents. They came in. She had a talk with them about what happened. I was home. I hid under the dining room table when my parents came home. My father was more the disciplinarian in the household. Because, you know, some people say their mom was, right? So I'm hiding under the table. I hear my parents come. My dad's like, come in. What happened? He asked me to explain. And just like I said to you, she touched me. I hit her. That's what I told my father. And I got my ass beat. And now with most kids who say, oh, I got beat with extension cord, or I got beat with this, I got beat with that, beat with a switch. No, my father loved playing paddleball. And if you know what, for those who live in New York, you know what paddleball is. And you know what the paddles he used look like. He had a green one. And he beat, you know, some parents say, I'm going to get my belt and whoop you. Nope. My father used what he had, and that was that paddle. I never touched that teacher or do anything that would want to get a beating ever again. I know a lot of people say, you know, they got beatings, you know, whoopings by their parents, and it, you know, they felt trauma. I rarely got beatings, but it didn't traumatize me. It didn't traumatize. That one beating, severe beating I got, didn't traumatize me. It taught me a valuable lesson. If I keep fucking up like that, I'm going to get more sane. This is what, see, the problem is as kids, when our parents tell us, don't do something, and we do it, and then we get in trouble for it, and it gets whooping, and the trauma talk. Some parents go overboard. I get it. Some parents go overboard. But a simple spank on the butt or whooping, you felt traumatized, but you kept doing the same dumb shit, and that's why you kept getting whoopings. And I don't want to hear, oh, a kid, they're going to be a kid. When your kid is doing dumb shit, that's not a kid being a kid. When your kid is doing shit that could put them in jail, that's not being a kid. when your kid is doing dumb shit that can harm their own life, that's not a kid being a kid. So I commend this mother for going to her school to see what's going on, because I'm not a parent, but if I was and the teacher sent me a letter or whatever saying my child's misbehaving, what? My child's up at school cursing up a storm? And knowing she or he can't curse at home, but you cursing up a storm at school, like you grown, like you pay bills and shit? See, I'm going to talk to you first. I'm going to have that talk with, because my dad always did that. He always, when there was an issue, he always had to talk first. And we'll ask why you did it. And then after he had that talk with you, that's when you received your consequences for doing what you did. You know what I'm saying? But, and she said it was like 6 kids she wanted to work with. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her either. Aunt, I be wanting to beat my nieces and nephews when they do dumb shit that I don't like. I don't want to hear that, sorry, my bad. You know you did something wrong, but your answer to why you did it is, sorry, my bad. And then you keep doing the same dumb shit, and you wonder why you getting whoopings and stuff. And the reason that showed in the article, it says, oh, I read that part, okay. Because they copied her. They copied her post into the article. But she said there were 6 kids she wanted to beat. And parents, I don't care if you're a single dad, single mom, you're doing it by yourself, I don't care. You need to be more involved with your kid with their kid in their school. When I was going to school, they had PCA, Parent Teacher Association. Yep. They had that. Even though my mother wasn't a part of it because she was working. So it's not like my dad was the sole breadwinner. No, both of them were working, so she couldn't be part of the parent association at the school. She can, but those parents who afforded the ability to where the father worked and the moms would stay at home, then you should be a part of that PTA, knowing what's going on with your kids after school. Because you do got some kids who didn't cross up a storm. All right, everybody. I'm sorry for the delay after the song. I don't know what's going on tonight with Blog Talk, but it cut me off the show. And I cannot call back in. And I have to do another way to call it back in, but the other way I couldn't call back in. And that pisses me off when that happens. Because my Wi-Fi is fine. I know it ain't my Wi-Fi. But I don't even know how much of tonight's show you heard. Now, for those who may just be tuning in, I talked about Juwan Howard. I talked about Sherry Shepherd getting her own talk show and Wendy's show was ending. They're going to finish off the 13th season. And then that's it. And Sherry's new talk show is coming in the fall. And I thought I was on air talking about people were saying the Queen is dead. Queen Elizabeth is not dead. She just got a mild case of COVID. And I think people just want her to die. I really think people just want her to die. What I'm going to do is just play some more music, and then I'm going to get out of here because I feel tired in the eyes, and I know if I stay focused looking at this damn computer, it's going to make me even more tired. I'm going to play my girl, Janetta, because I want to hear my song, Catch Me If You Can. Catch me. Oh, here we go, y'all.
Controlling man, 'cause I'm a woman, show nothing command. I know what's right for me, it just might be you. So if you think you can be that somebody new, then show me something I ain't seen before. Then come prepared before you knock on my door, 'cause ain't no heartache allowed here. If you can, hey, come on, catch me if you can. I'm
There I go again. Have myself on mute. Talking to y'all, thinking I'm talking to y'all. Now I have myself on mute. That was Jeanetta Bradley with Catch Me If You Can. And this song reminds me of Clean Up Woman by Betty Wright and Tonight Is the Night. You can say mixed together. Why don't you catch me if you can. Catch me if you can. I really like this song, and I'm going to play it again, but not right now. And thank you for Dreaming Out Loud Entertainment sending me this. Mm-hmm. Because I think this song, Catch Me If You Can, out of all the songs Dreaming Out Loud Entertainment have sent me, I think this one will probably get played the most. I think this one will probably get played the most. They all good songs, just that song. Because you know what it is? It got that old school vibe to it. And it's not really that old. You know, that old school, you know? It has that old school vibe, but it's really not that old.
Why don't you catch me if you can.
I gotta stop singing it. All right, let's get back into the show. Let's see what's going on in the news. Let's see what's in the news. Happy birthday to Niecy Nash. Happy birthday to Niecy Nash. Niecy Nash just turned 52. Happy birthday, Niecy. Oh, I love this. I love this story. So, you know, as a reporter, you're in the field and you're shooting in the field. Well, this news reporter was shooting in the field, and while he was shooting, his phone was ringing. It was his mom calling him, and she wound up driving by where he was filming the news. And he stopped and had a conversation with his mom. Yeah, I saw the video. Wow, this is something to share for all my frat brothers and sorority sisters. It says, X Kappa Alpha Psi executive sentenced to 2.5 years in prison for embezzlement. Says Curtis G. Anderson, the former Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity executive who became involved in a multi-million dollar embezzlement scandal roughly 3 years ago, was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison on Tuesday, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. The now 60-year-old Anderson spent two decades working as a finance director at Kappa Alpha Psi International Headquarters in Philadelphia. He confessed in December 2018 to embezzling more than $1 million from the fraternity over the course of 6 years to fuel his gambling habit. You telling me the brotherhood that you were part of, Kappa Alpha Psi, you embezzled $1 million from them because of your gambling habit? You know, they treat you like you're their brother. You understand what I'm saying? You are their frat brother, but I'm saying they treat you like you really one of their siblings. Wow. All of that because of a gambling habit.
gambling is an addiction. Maybe 2 years in the prison would do him good. Maybe help him kick the habit. But knowing him, because he likes to gamble, he probably be doing it while he in jail. So he ain't never gonna kick the habit. Gambling, let me tell you, gambling destroys lives. And what I mean by that is because if you have a habit of gambling, but you don't have the money to supply your gambling habit, you tend to do things like what he did to supply your gambling habit. And a lot of y'all out there are not good gamblers, let's be honest. You are not good gamblers. Y'all waste their money for no reason. Like, people with gambling problems will bet on anything. Like, people with gambling problems will bet on anything. Like, during the Super Bowl, if you, whatever sports betting app you use, there was a bet, coin toss. And if the coin toss landed on heads, this is the, well, whatever, how much you would win. If it landed on tails, it's how much you, whoever got it right, it's whatever that money amount is. And, you know, people with addictions, so they can stop drug addiction. Is not easy to get over. And some people say it can, I'm gonna go cold turkey. But if you're a heroin user, you can't go cold turkey. Being a heroin user, being a meth user. Oh, excuse me, I'm on it. And well, you said you did it. Because you had a gambling habit. And I hope you reflect on what you did. Now we have, it says, Lizzo is still working to combat negative stereotypes about plus size women. She says, I'm destroying them by just living. Yep. So Lizzo has worked to rid society of stigmas surrounding the plus size community as she uses both her music and her social media platforms to celebrate her body and to combat the negative ideas that people have of it. But when it comes to widespread representation and size inclusivity, the singer believes there's a lot more work to be done. It's not happening quickly by no means, as I told Variety when discussing size inclusivity and storytelling, especially on screen. It's happening very slow and select, and there's a long way to go, but I have seen it. Yeah. I've seen it budge, and that's better than nothing. The 33-year-old reflected on what she had grown up with in terms of diversity on television, sharing that the choice of black girls they used in media was the same kind of black girl, and when it came to having any hope that she feels is represented or accepted by any other means, Lizzo recalled the level of toxicity surrounding beauty standards and body shaming that even victimized thin white women like Jessica Simpson. Y'all want me to believe this is an overweight, obese woman and that she should be ashamed how she feels? How the fuck was I supposed to feel? The limited representation of fatness that existed in media was often used for comedy, including Eddie Murphy's character in The Nutty Professor, which Lizzo pointed out. He definitely had a collection of fat suit movies that people would be laughing at, but I would feel sad. Not because I felt like, oh, my gosh, that's me, but I had this empathy for Professor Clump. There's a thing, like the scene where he opens his drawer and there are all these candies and M&Ms in his desk. I could literally cry right now thinking about it. People around me were laughing, but I hate food too. I feel him. I feel sympathy and empathy for him. The negative stereotypes of people in bigger bodies are followed. Have followed Lizzo in her career, and she's faced countless criticism from people online in the public sphere, making assumptions about her as a result of her weight. Excuse me, y'all. I think bigger bodies have been devalued in the industry. She said of plus-size people in Hollywood, especially as a result, she's had to confront fat phobia on a daily basis. Even when it comes to people assuming that performing in a major is a major physical feat for the singer. I don't think they're doing it maliciously. I definitely think they're conditioned to believe that bigger bodies don't have enough stamina to perform at the level that I do. She said of fans who have said it looks physically exhausting for her to perform. For decades, we have been depicted on television and in movies as lazy and huffing and puffing while the other thinner characters are jogging. It's fine. It's a stereotype. I ain't new to this stereotype. But what I'm trying to do is dismantle every stereotype that I have the power to do. I'm destroying them by just living and being incredible all the time. So on TikTok especially, Lizzo has been able to take control of her narrative, sharing more intimate intimate sides of her personality and posting videos addressing hate and fat phobia. She's even used the app to remind people of her humanity by being a celebrity. Yep. People out there do fat shame. Wow. Okay. Oh, boy. All right, y'all. I am going to play that song again. Catch Me If You Can right now. Because my eyes is too tired right now. Oh, I keep yawning for no reason. So I'm just going to end the show a little early. So here we go. Chanel Bradley once again will Catch Me If You Can.
Don't talk commitment, just to lay me down, baby. you can. Hey, baby, catch me if you can. Hey, 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 catch me, catch me, catch me if you can. I won't try to run on. And catch me if you catch me. Hey, hey, baby.
Alright, y'all. That was Jeanetta Valley right there with Catch Me If You Can. I like this song. If there was a button to put it on repeat, oh Lord, we'd be in trouble right now. Don't want no loser. Ow, don't want no loser. Catch me, catch me. Ooh, catch me if you can. When I like a song, I play it a lot on the real. And that's one song I like a lot. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I can't stop doing it. So, you know, that's a sign that I'm tired. And I can't stop doing it. Yeah. But the next show is The End Experience. I'm going to be in the time. And we're going to call it a night here on BOE for the Patriots today. We're sorry for the delays and all the mishaps on the show tonight. Wasn't my fault. But if you heard when I did the sports news, what my sentiments were about the Juwan Howard, Wisconsin situation, I thought it said that the students was going to pay that $10,000 fine that was given the coach guard. But he said, no, the school's athletic, I guess the athletic department's going to take care of the $10,000 fine, so it doesn't have to come out the coach's pocket. Oh, I can't stop yawning. And I really thought it said students, that's how tired I am. I thought it says the students were paying for it. And that's why I was like, I had a whole lot of F fuck yous going around for the athletic director. Because I reread it. I reread what it said. And I took it back, but left it for the coach. Because when I got further into the article, and Juwan had the reason why it went left, because the coach took two timeouts when he didn't need to. They was up by 15. But one, I can see. But two, but the coach said his reasoning was to position his team, but it's to be able to bring it in. No, I know what the coach is doing. He did that so he could take away time, but even if there was a millisecond left, they wouldn't be able to do anything. Yeah, but it's all right. Because if the coach wouldn't have did that, and then Juwan said somebody touched him, he don't know who, but nobody on Wisconsin don't want to say who touched him. They don't know who touched him. Of course, they're not going to show that part of him being touched. They're going to show the part of him throwing hands. Yep. So, like I said, I appreciate you rocking together. If you rocking together, I want to follow in. Yep. So, how you been on Instagram? I want to follow in. TWS2. On Twitter, I want to follow in. TWS2. So, I'm waiting y'all. If you want the music player right here in the station, all you got to do is hit me up. And 201-399-2014. That's 201-399-2014. Or RoadToStardom.net, and I'll tell you how to get your music played. If you're missing the show, or RoadToStardom video, you got to just go to boxofradio.com/RoadToStardom. That's boxofradio.com/RoadToStardom. Or you can just Google RoadToStardom Radio, see the many platforms we are on. As well as you can listen to the episode on the Road to Stardom Radio Facebook page. Another yarn came over me, y'all. So, Road to Stardom is like a Road Foundation has this initiative, Stop the Violence Initiative, going on. And we want people of all, we want artists of all genres to participate in our mixtape, our Stop the Violence, ceasefire mixtape, as well as people to purchase the t-shirt that go along with the I Stop the Violence initiative. And if you go to RoadToStardomMerch.com or blakoke-forever.creator-spring.com, you will see the t-shirt that says Ceasefire My Life Matters, and money raised from that t-shirt we'll go to the Black Oak Fellow Foundation. I can't stop doing this, and it says getting on my nerves. So as far as the mixtape goes, it's going to be a 15-track mixtape. That's why I say all genres are welcome. All songs must be about stopping the violence. And you're going to sing your song in a music format. RoadToStardom2010@gmail.com. With a biopic. This is only for artists. A biopic is only for artists whose music that I haven't played. If I played you on the station, I should have a pic of you in a bio already. And there's going to be a 15-track mixtape. Depending on how many submissions we get, it should might be more than that. But for right now, it's 15. And and I'm going to join again. I'm sorry, y'all. So, all like I said, all genres are welcome. And songs must be in MP3 format. I'm going to say, the next one watching this show is on March 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm going to say peace, love, I appreciate you. Bye-bye now. I'm thinking I'm talking to people, and I got cut off again.